Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
In front of the net, off the skate of Eklund, but the Sharks gobble it up. Down to 9 seconds left in overtime, and here comes Granlund, moving in, dropping it back. Eklund, the shot, he scores! He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback with 4.3 seconds left in overtime. The Sharks win it, 5-4.
It's feeling great, you know. We probably couldn't even get a chance early the season, you know, doing this. For sure, it was kind of tough, you know, because I think we play a pretty good game, you know. We've been just by one goal and kind of, you know, give up the power play and stuff, but, you know, we never quick, you know. That's why we got, you know, the points, and, you know, we're really happy about this group because it's a tough year. We got through a lot of stuff this year, but this is show me something, you know. We could do it like last game. We almost come back, and against a really good team, we actually finished today, so feeling really good.
Fun? I don't know if I'd call that fun. The last 3.5 minutes certainly make you feel really good, and, you know, that second goal really gave us a ray of hope, and real good job by that line, by the Sturm, LeBanc, Bailey line, you know, establishing a forecheck, getting the puck up top, and Okio bombs it, and we get screens, and, you know, so that gives us a little bit of hope. Then you're able to pull the goalie early, and those guys did a hell of a job on the 6-on-5, both times. I mean, the puck retrievals, the staying with it, not getting cute, just, you know, it was a hell of a play on that fourth goal to tie it.
All right, good morning, everyone. What is happening? How about those San Jose Sharks? I think my favorite thing out of this one is that if you go look at the win probability calculator, and I'm using the one off of the Yahoo Sports app, you go to 12-17 in the third period, and the Islanders had a 97.4% chance of winning that game. And the Sharks had already even scored at that point. It was a 4-2 game at that point. You'd gotten Banker's goal to start the comeback, but it was still so very much in favor of where the Islanders needed to be at that point in time to walk away with a win. In fact, if you go back to just before LeBanc scored, it was 4-1, and the Islanders had a 96.4 win percentage chance, and just 1% higher just a little bit later, even after the Sharks had gotten one on the board, which was what really got things rolling. But that's why you play the games. You don't just go by what's on paper. That's why you play to the finish. That's why you don't leave early. You got to wait and see how the game finishes out. But the most impressive thing about this comeback win for the San Jose Sharks is that for all intents and purposes, I feel that it started in Sunday's loss against the Rangers, because we saw a lot of the same things. Like, the scoreline was not truly indicative of how the Sharks were playing up to that point. The Sharks were playing, their game oftentimes, and they were making the opposition work hard, even though sometimes things went against the Sharks. They didn't catch the breaks earlier in the game, and I could be describing either game at this point. But, you know, the Sharks were not, in my opinion, worthy of being down 4-1. Obviously, a couple power play goals, shorthanded goal. One of those power plays is 5-on-3. I mean, that is just how life is going to go at certain times. But you do look at where the Sharks were down 6-3 on Sunday against the Rangers, and they did fight their way back into that game. That was almost like a dress rehearsal for what we saw in this game, where the Sharks got that first goal to get themselves back into the game. And then you got two more from Tomas Hertl. Of course, the Sharks, benefactors of the extra attacker. And suddenly you're getting overtime, and you've got just an unbelievable opportunity for William Eklund with 4 seconds remaining. Not quite a buzzer beater, but about as close as you're going to get. And it really does speak skate to where the Sharks have been in the last little bit here. Again, we go back a month ago and the Sharks were, you know, not anything like this. They were coming off of those two bad losses that we do not speak of. And then they were, you know, really starting to point themselves in the right direction by getting wins really just looking like a better team. It started with those wins against the Flyers and Edmonton, and ever since then, it's just been an upward trend. Now, there have been bumps in the road. I'm not trying to deny anything about that. But, you know, if we look most recently at this road trip, you look at the fact that they were not scoring. That was even still a trend that had carried over from previous road trips into this one. They got shut out in game one against a team like Boston, 3-0. Now, 3-0 was not a terrible game in any way, shape, or form. But obviously, when you looked at the fact that the Sharks had only scored 6 goals through 10 road games, that's not going to get it done. But it all turned around with that win against the Devils, in which you scored 6 goals, which was your offensive high point of the year, and you got that win, 6-3, first road win. I mean, you had 2 big milestones in that game. One, you had your first road win. 2, you had your best offensive performance of the year. You get a day off Saturday, you continue along the Eastern Seaboard and the New York metropolitan area, you take on the Rangers. You're down 6-3 in that game, you come back, you make it interesting, you fight to the finish against a really good team, and you lose 6-5. Then, you know, again, that's your second highest goal total of the year. You have once again given yourself that 5 spot, and then in this one, you're down 3-1 and 4-1, and it looks like you're not going to be able to get much going. It looks like it's going to be one of those offensive games for the Sharks where they're flashing back to where they were previously, but instead they flash back to Sunday, and they got their comeback. It started with LeBanc, and then Hurdle again for the hat trick, and then Eklund, the game winner in overtime, and then suddenly, yes, it took an overtime winner, but once again, you've tied your second best offensive output of the season and walked away with a win, and at this point, you are 2-2 on what is a very, very difficult road trip where you go from Boston, a loss, to Jersey, a win, to New York, a loss, albeit tight, to New York again, the Islanders, a win, this time in overtime. It's the first comeback win of the year. It's the first overtime win of the year. So we look at Friday. Friday was their first road win of the year. It was their offensive high output of the year. We go 2 games later. Not only was this win against New York their first comeback win, it was their first overtime win. And then on top of that, it was a tie for their second best offensive production of the year, of which they've scored 5 goals 3 times. Now, you're looking, in my opinion, at a really good opportunity of at least giving yourself the chance to get a 500 road trip. Whether that's going to happen against 2 good teams like Detroit and Vegas, I cannot say for certain. But I also look at where the Sharks were. If you had told me that we could even be having a conversation about the Sharks being 3-3 out of this road trip or having a chance for a third win with 2 games left, I would have loved the optimism, but I probably would not have been in agreement. And then you get to come home and take on a good Winnipeg team before you go back out onto the road against Arizona as well as Colorado. But again, this is a big, big growth point for the Sharks, and it's just a big point in the season. Again, you know, you're getting these moments, and they're happening on the road. You're getting offensive production consistently. This is 3 straight games in which you're scoring 6 or 5 goals, and it's 2 straight with 5. I don't have a problem with that in the slightest. Like, yes, you would like the defense to maybe tighten up just a little bit more, but think about the circumstances. Like, and also think about some of the injuries that you're dealing with. Like this one, you don't have Benning out there. You're also out there on the East Coast. You're also in the midst of a very difficult stretch of scheduling. You're also a team that a month ago was looking nothing like this. And then you go into 2 difficult games against Detroit and Vegas with an opportunity to give yourself a 500 road trip in one of the biggest road trips of the year, the longest at 6 games, and arguably one of the most difficult. I haven't looked at everyone that's going to come from here on out, but yeah, I mean, we all saw what this was on the schedule. We knew it was going to be tough, but they've got 2 wins out of this. And, you know, again, that's 2-2 so far. They're on pace for 3-3. They might not get there, but I'll take the fact that they've been able to put themselves in this position. And I think that, you know, you go beyond to some of the smaller stories in this game. And I think that it's Tomáš Hertl, whose game has really, really been trending in the right direction as of late. He's had some tough spots earlier this year. And I remember seeing him after those losses, you know, just looking at how dejected he was. You know, Tomáš Hertl, he does not have a great poker face. When he's happy, and the entirety of the world knows it. When he is not happy, yeah, his shoulders will slump. He will slam the gate as he's going back to the bench. He lets everybody know that he's ticked off, and sometimes he will show those shoulders slumping, and it's something that, you know, I've asked him about before, and he says he's been this way his entire life. He's always very demonstrative, and, you know, listen, some guys can feed off of that, and some guys, you know, it gets to be problematic. There have been times where I truly have wondered whether or not it's been problematic, but if you watch Tomáš Hertl continue to push forward this season to where he's been more involved defensively, to where he's been more involved lately in terms of getting guys the puck in good spaces. And then in this game, it was Tomáš Hertl with another hat trick for him. Not a natty like his last one, but this one was just an absolutely phenomenal bit of performance from Tomáš Hertl, especially the second two goals, which came at a critical moment for the Sharks to try and get themselves back into the game. Tomáš Hertl deserves a lot of credit. I know that he's been through the ringer the last couple of years, and he's obviously got to deal with the challenges of having a young family while being a professional athlete. But, you know, to watch him get rewarded, to watch him have that success in this game, it was important for the Sharks to get a comeback win. A, it was important for the Sharks to get an overtime win. B, it was important for Tomáš Hertl to really have that offensive breakout game this year that we've been waiting for. And I'm not trying to overlook some of the positive performances he's had up to this point of the season, but once again, you're watching Tomáš Hertl do what he does best, and that is score goals. And, you know, up to this point of the season, we've seen Zetterlund be hot and consistent. We've seen Mike Hoffman get hot. We've seen Anthony Duclair get hot. We really hadn't seen Tomáš Hertl get hot. And I think that's the fun out of this one, is that this is something that feels like it's a game that Tomáš Hertl can build off of. And it feels like, you know, now we're going to start to see the Sharks offense start to roll a little bit more, because we do have three consecutive games now in which the Sharks are getting contributions all around, and they are just looking like they are humming along with a very high level of ability. Tomáš Hertl, 3 points. William Eklund, 3 points. Mikael Granlund, 2 points. Anthony Duclair, 1 point. LeBanc, 1 point. Ochocek, 1 point. Barabanov, 1 point. You know, you're talking about 7 players contributing. No, it's not the 12 guys that got into it on Sunday against the Rangers, but that's still a very varied and high-level output. You know, I guess the difference here is that you've got, you know, Hertl and Eklund each with 3-point games. For William Eklund, I don't know for sure. I believe that is his first 3-point game. If it's not, it's the first one he's had this year, I think. But this is the type of thing that you want to see. You want to have guys have big games. You want to see multiple players contributing. You can't just expect the same guys night in, night out. Listen, I love it when Zetterlund's doing his thing. I love it when you get goals from, again, a Duclair or a Hoffman, whoever it's going to be, but you can't count on them in every single game. You need to have multiple people contributing, and that's what the Sharks got for yet another game. And so I am very happy to see Tomáš Hertl get his big offensive breakthrough game of the season. Hopefully this will be a point that he continues to grow upon. And then another one we saw out of this one was Kevin LeBanc getting his first goal of the year. You know, Banker missed a little time at the start of the season due to injury, and, you know, he came in and he looked pretty good the minute he got out there on the ice. It took him a while to get his first point, but now we're watching Kevin LeBanc, in my opinion. It's 2 straight games with points, which is very, very good to see, and he's been more consistently in the lineup as of late. So, you know, I've always been a Kevin LeBanc believer, and it's nice to see him have these performances, and I hope that we can get more from him like this that we've seen as of late, because he continues to have a lot of offensive ability. I know that, you know, it seems that his game does not specifically fit with Quinn's system across the board, but I do think Quinn sees how good Kevin LeBanc can be in certain situations, and certainly tonight he showed exactly why he is such a potent offensive player. I think he's just got to be surrounded by the right people, but in this instance, he was there with the tip to get the Sharks going, and that was what, you know, where the game really turned. And I don't think that there is probably going to be enough credit given to his goal in this game. We're probably going to talk more about Hertl. We're going to talk more about Eklund. We're going to talk more about, you know, the comeback. We're going to talk more about the overtime. I mean, those are probably the bigger, sexier headlines out of this one, but it did feel like it all turned with Banker's goal. So let's go to that point and go through these goals, starting first with Kevin LeBanc's.
Stern carries up the left wing for San Jose. up to the Islander line, shoots one in. He's in there quickly, but the Islanders pick up. They can't clear. Ochocinc the shot. Score! That got tipped in front. Ochocinc did not waste any time when the puck came back to the point. Fired it toward the net, but got deflected in. And it is a 4-2 game. That's the second goal the Sharks have scored tonight.
LeBanc was the last to touch it. I believe Sturm was in the vicinity as well, but it was LeBanc who brought it home for the Sharks and got them within two. And then once you're within two, it becomes more of a striking distance thing, right? It's like, okay, it was 4-1, now it's 4-2. You get it to 4-3, and then suddenly everything changes. So the Sharks, as it's getting later, they pull the goalie, Tomas Hertl, his second of the night.
Over to the far boards, Duclair, back to Granlund, winds up, doesn't shoot, gives to Eklund, down low feed. Zetterlund back to Eklund on the left circle, back now, Granlund the shot, tipped in front! Shot, score! Hertl has it, and he bangs it home! Extra attacker goal for the Sharks with 3:11 to play in the third to make the score. The Islanders 4, the Sharks 3.
And then it was Hertl again finishing up his hat trick.
Can Zetterlund hold on to it? He does. Left point. Feeds it back to Duclair. Top of the right circle. Feeds it across the ice. Barabanov shoots. Oh, what a save by Sorokin. Rebound bounced. Not cleared out. Kept in by Granlund. Kept in by Zetterlund. Now he goes over. Gets the pass now to Eklund in front. Score! Tomas Hertl scores the hat trick. The Sharks have come back to score two extra attacker goals. And with 1:30 remaining in regulation, this game is all even 4-4.
And what's fun about this is that so much of the Sharks season has been marred by what we would call not great moments. And even a year ago, there was a sincere lack of great moments, of really, really feel-good, all-around great moments. Like, yeah, you had Erik Karlsson having a historic season, but it was not something that was, you know, translating into a lot of wins. And now the San Jose Sharks, at least in the last couple of weeks, have given us moments to feel good about. And I know there are some of you that are thinking, no, don't win games. You want as many balls in the hopper as is possible. Well, at this point, I am on the other side of that. I want to see the Sharks improve week to week, month to month, and we'll see where everything, where all the chips fall when all is said and done. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into post-game reaction. We are also going to hear from an interview that I did on Tuesday with Shang Peng. Couldn't get to all of it on the build-up, so you will hear from that as well. I'll see you on the other side. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Oh boy, a little bit of a soft pass by Zetterlund, but he got away with it. Here comes Duclair down the left wing with speed. Throws one toward the goal, hit the side of the net. Knocked aside by the D, but fed out in front. Hertl the shot. He scores! Tomas Hertl firing it top corner to tie the game 1-1 on a turnover by the Islanders after a Duclair rush.
Yeah, for sure. And if, like, I would lie if I don't like, if I don't like to score a hat-trick, you know, like, everybody loves to score, you know, and especially when you can help the team, you know, and I'm really happy we could finish it, you know, and two big points for us, you know, and I think we worked really hard, you know, this whole trip, and you know, big win for us, but we got still two more games, but we feel great, feel right now great about our group.
Yeah, it's fun right now to see Tomas Hertl having this success, especially in light of what he went through recently with the kidney stone. Yikes. Just talking to Brody Brazil about that. Yeah, I'm glad that I have not had to deal with one of those myself. Here's David Quinn weighing in on Tomas Hertl's big performance.
Yeah, I mean, he's been outstanding all year, you know, and there was a little lull maybe in this game because he was getting frustrated when we were going through our tough time. But, you know, you're talking about a big-time centerman in this league, and you know, he protects the puck so well. He's got such a high hockey IQ and just an incredible teammate. So, you know, real happy for him. He gets the hat trick tonight.
The other part out of this is that the San Jose Sharks were coming off a game against the Rangers in which they did come back there, and they've now been scoring a lot of goals in a lot of games as of late. So, you know, what does that mean? Did Tomáš Hertl feel like the Rangers got their confidence going that they could come back in a game?
I think it's all the, like, from the jersey, you know, we finally feel like we can score some goals, you know, early season, you know, it was a big issue when you score zero and one goal, you can't win in this league, you know, even the goalies stood it for us on our heads, you know, and lately, you know, we start scoring some goals, so it feels really great, but same time, we have to still be a little better defensively, don't give up, like, easy chances, don't just hand it to them, you know, like, we can hand it, like, the third goal like that, especially on our power play, just can happen, but we're showing we're strong now, stronger offensively, we can make it plays, and we have to just keep working, but for sure still a lot of work on the defensively because we just can give easy goals to other teams.
And David Quinn weighed in on this as well.
No, it did. It gives you hope, and you know, we never quit and we stuck with it, and you know, just put ourselves in a position to have a chance. You know, you go down 4-1 and get it the second one, you know, relatively quickly after that, you know, now you're in it, and just a great comeback.
And we are going to focus on Tomáš Hertl's hat trick. We're going to focus on Eklund's game winner. But it all started with that 4-2 goal from Kevin LeBanc. That's what gave the Sharks the spark they needed to mount that comeback.
We were working hard for that one. I mean, I think Sturmey, Bales, and I, we were just forechecking all game. And, you know, the chances were coming, and it was only a matter of time before we would have scored. So it felt good. And, you know, it was a good overall line effort from Bales, Sturmey, and I.
And LeBanc also talked about the fact that it felt like the game was slipping away from the Sharks. It was 2-1, then suddenly a shorthanded goal makes it 3-1 in favor of the Islanders, and then a goal off the power play. It was a 5-3 situation. They were gassed, and then the Islanders did eventually get that goal to make it 4-1 off the power play, but LeBanc said they just kept on working.
I think throughout the whole game, you know, we were just in on the forecheck, and so yeah, we just kept giving it to them, and, you know, we didn't change our game, and, you know, one chance leads to two chances, and then, you know, those lead to scoring opportunities, and those lead to goals. So I think it was a great overall team effort, and, you know, hopefully we don't have to do that again.
Hopefully they do not, but it is something that teams that win in the NHL are capable of doing, like the Rangers that the Sharks just had to deal with the other night. They have a number of come-from-behind victories this year, and so for the Sharks, this is their first of the year, and it's yet another stepping stone as they continue to progress as we get deeper and deeper into the season. I am looking for growth. That's what I keep on going to. Now, the real question comes, can they grow from this game? This is what David Quinn had to say.
Certainly, you know, brings us to another level, you know, and as we all have touched on, you know, after the first 11 games, things were tough. And I've said this a lot. I mean, to dig out of the hole the way we are starting to and to play with some swagger and the confidence that we're playing with just really says an awful lot about our players. And I couldn't be prouder of them, and I couldn't be happier for them, because there were a lot of real happy faces in there tonight, and there have been a lot of happy faces lately.
Happy faces indeed as the Sharks pick up the big come-from-behind overtime win. William Eklund spoke with Randy and Drew after the game. He talked about just, whew, what a wild finish that was. You can hear he's still gassed, a little bit out of breath.
Oh, to be honest, guys, I don't know. I guess that's just off to us in there in that room. Such a strong team mentality in there, and you know, a lot of pride to the two guys in there.
Yeah, pretty cool. He seemed elated, and he should be, as the Sharks got a big, big win that we could point to if they continue to show signs of growth throughout this season. As promised, I wanted to get into the rest of that interview I did with Sheng Peng earlier on Tuesday. I asked him for his thoughts on the Mario Ferraro situation and some of the rumors out there with people talking about Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah, with the Ferraro first, I am very curious about it because I spoke with a number of scouts last year about kind of how they perceive Ferraro's trade value. And it was decent. I think people talked about, oh, yeah, I would give a second for him, even with that contract and even with the dashes that he's accumulated over the years, because we don't necessarily blame him for all that poor plus minus, because
no,
it's his team and it's the minutes he's playing, where maybe he wouldn't be a 23-minute guy for a top team. But can he settle it into? I've always held on to. I believe that on a much better team, he could be a decent middle pairing guy, which is very valuable in its own right and is worth about $3 million. But anyway, though, and that seemed about right to me in terms of what was fair. If you were absolutely dead set on trading a Mario Ferraro, that could be about right. So the way that Friedman was talking about it was that the Sharks. I'm not sure if this is some kind of play where it's getting put out there just to let teams know that this price is not going to be a second round pick, which is maybe the fair cost, but we don't want fair for a guy who is, like you say, 25, who is great in the room. And there's no reason why a guy like that couldn't be part of your next playoff Sharks team whenever that happens. Blackwood's a little different, though, and this is just my opinion. I know a lot of fans, they've loved what they've seen with Blackwood. And they should. He's been really good. I think this is the best stretch of Sharks goaltending from an individual that I've seen in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Long stretch, 1-2 month stretch. And but for me, goaltending is always so unpredictable.
Right.
And Blackwood, obviously, there's a reason why the Sharks were able to acquire him for just a 6th round pick over the summer, because he had a couple injury plagued seasons. And I know that his pedigree, it was high, was great his rookie year, and all that kind of stuff with them. And he's young too, but just goaltending, it's just so unpredictable that if Edmonton is willing to pay a very high price for, I guess I'll put it this way. This is just my opinion. It's not what I'm hearing. This isn't that sort of thing, but if a team was willing to offer a second round pick for Blackwood, I would think really hard about that, because again, goaltending when you have someone you're sure of, like Shesterkin or Sorokin or somebody like that, then yeah, that's worth its weight in gold, and you don't trade that away for just a second round pick. But there's only a handful of goalies like that in the league, and after 20 games or so, Blackwood isn't one of those yet. He may prove me wrong, of course, but it's sort of a calculated gamble to take a high pick for that. But defenseman, though, a guy like Ferraro, I think there's a little bit more of a certainty of right. what he's going to be in next year and the year after that. And so I would understand that position, that while a second might be fair, that, yeah, you do hold out and maybe you put it out there in the media. Hey, you want to even think about it? You got to pay through the nose for this guy. And so I wonder, I don't know for sure. I haven't checked in on that this season. I was checking in more on that last season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I wonder if there's a little bit of that going on where the Sharks might consider trading Ferraro, but it really does have to be overpayment.
You know, I guess as a final one for you, Shang, as the Sharks have been playing better and better hockey, which my point of view is, yeah, you want to be playing better. You want to see signs of improvement. There is a faction that says, no, you don't. You want to make sure that you have as many balls in the hopper when it mm-hmm. comes down to the lottery time. So where do you weigh in on that?
I weigh in more on, it's good to see this progress. It's good for the younger players that are going to be a part of the next great Sharks teams or good Sharks teams. I understand, obviously, the draft lottery. And yeah, sure, it would have been nice if, like, I don't know, Kevin LeBanc didn't score those goals against Colorado last year, get a couple of extra balls for Connor Bedard, right? That sort of thing last year, right? I think in general, though, like, obviously, the draft lottery, you're just helping your percentages out. It's not like you're guaranteeing anything by losing more games. So Sharks will lose every game this year, obviously, that doesn't improve their lottery chances, right? The worst record gets. You don't get an extra ball for every loss. In general, I'm along the side of just you want to see this progress, and whatever happens in the draft lottery happens. If you have less balls, it so happens you have less lottery balls, because I don't know, William Eklund goes on a hot streak and in the season. You want to see that. You want to see a guy like that, especially a guy like that who's going to be part of your future, play confidently like that, just for example. So I'm along the lines of you want to see good play and good progress. Now, I understand you don't want to make panic trades or anything like that. The Sharks obviously need a power play quarterback to start the season, right? Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have made sense for them to, say, trade a first round pick to acquire, I don't know who was out there, right? So you have to be
smart that way. And Mike Brewer has been smart in that way. And I think that he will continue to do that. So it's kind of a balance where you want to see a competitive product. You want guys to be keep improving. Yeah. But then you kind of don't want to be too good. I get that. I guess I would end by saying that if you're better than you expect, let's say you're at 70, 80 points, right? Which mm-hmm. is not great for your draft lottery, but that means that guys were good. Guys were better than expected, right? And you can take the positive from that, whether it's Blackwood, right? Oh, maybe this guy's your answer for the next few years. Last year, right? Sharks were fourth worst record in the league. Even through that, imagine if they didn't have Erik Karlsson scoring 101 points. If he had his 50, 60 points, which was probably what was expected if he was healthy, right? The Sharks would have had better odds for Connor Bedard, but they may or may not have got him. And then they certainly wouldn't have been able to trade Karlsson and his contract. And there wasn't a direct trade for a first round pick, but first round pick wouldn't have come back probably if Karlsson didn't have the success he had last year.
Hear the rest of that interview on yesterday's edition of The Build Up. We're out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.